Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Right, love, and wellness.
Necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when to begin. Thank you.
Hey, 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 everybody. Greetings and welcome to Truthful Tuesday right here on Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is indeed my honor and my privilege to bring to you this show for today. And you know, I get so excited every Tuesday because it is such a honor to have some of the best experts in the world to appear on our show and to share their soul, their passion with you. And tonight is no different. Actually, tonight is an exceptional show, and you'll understand in just a moment. So before I get too carried away with telling you about the show, let me give you a couple of things that we need to consider as we are going through tonight's episode. So first and foremost, we stop and we pause to give thanks to our ancestors for being with us always. As we call upon them, they are there for us, especially on Tuesdays. As we go outside of the box and we discuss issues that are not ordinarily talked about in an open environment, in an open setting, we know the ancestors got us, because some of the discussions that we have are so educational and so profound, people are not talking about them, right? So we know we stand on the shoulders for strength. And we trust the ancestors got us. They got our backs, our forwards, our tops, and our bottoms. And with that, we just give thanks to the power of our ancestors, to their energies always being with us. And the next thing we do is just kind of relax and release anything that we may be taking with us from today. And I'm going to share with you from my daily inspirational message, which can be found at RevSandy.wordpress.com. Today's message is called Non-Resistance. And you'll understand as we go throughout this evening with our guest and the message that she has, and you'll see how this just absolutely fit into her delivery of what she's bringing to us this evening. Non-resistance. Non-resistance means to fully surrender to the situation you are in at the present moment. It also means not to fight or attempt to change it. It means to allow things to flow as they are, not to dam up the process, not to cause or create a disturbance in the natural rhythm of things. The act of non-resistance can be challenging, to say the least. However, it is the best gift you can give yourself. The blessings that come from periods of non-resistance are immeasurable. By you getting out of your own way, you permit the unknown miraculous workings to take shape and manifest for you. You will be pleasantly pleased with each outcome, even if it appears as one of your many lessons in life. We have a human tendency to think that only those things we judge as to be a blessing for us. To the contrary, you will learn more in adversity than you will in good times about who you truly are. To just be present in the now is non-resistance. To participate fully in each activity you are engaged in is non-resistance. To love without conditions of either yourself or the person is non-resistance. To continually strive for excellence in all you do is non-resistance. To accept all others regardless of their status is non-resistance. To trust the process of life is true non-resistance. God Goddess dwells in non-resistance. The Dao and Buddha are non-resistance of non-resistance. The One Source, the Infinite One, the Most High, the Creator are all non-resistant specialists. Again, you can find that at revsandy.wordpress.com. So you guys know it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So our show tonight is called The Alliance of Social Democrats, ASD, and we're featuring Her Excellency, Madam Marie Sok. We're going to be bringing her on and possibly a couple of her members here in the United States as we talk about her audacity, her non-resistance to being the first female to run for the presidency of the Gambia in Africa. Just, she is just awesome, awesome, awesome. And so, everyone, we are pre-recording this program tonight due to the schedule and the time difference between the United States and Africa to allow for a very free-flowing conversation, non-resistance, remember? And so we're going to be back with Her Excellency momentarily. We're going to first play a music piece, which is going to further put you into a receptive mode of receiving the messages that the Her Excellency has for us. I tell you, I'm excited, y'all. I'm excited. Let's play the music so we can get to Her Excellency. We'll be right back.
We want the power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. The sick and the hungry are unable. Protect them and those who may live in fear. We as the young wish to say in this song, God bless great America. We give thanks to the old for achieving their goal. It is now up to us, and we know we must build up a trust. And we want the power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. The sick and the hungry are unable. Protect them and those who may live in fear. Power for the people. Power for the people. Power for the people. Power for the people. Hardening crimes is a part of the times. And it's rough for some people to live. can move fast, but it don't have to last. It is now the nation's turn for all to be concerned. We can be freer still. It is the people's will, and bring back the power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. The sick and the hungry are unable. Protect them and those who may live in fear. Power for the people. Power for the people. Power for the people. Power for the people.
Y'all know that's Curtis Mayfield singing Power for the People. And that's what her excellency is about. That's what she stands for. Welcome back, everybody, to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So I'm going to read you the brief write-up for our show tonight and bring in on her excellency and also her U.S. manager, Dora Chambers, who's going to be joining us as well. So Her Excellency Madame Marie Sock is officially a candidate for the presidency of the Gambia in Africa as she continues to make history. She is a phenomenal and extraordinary woman, pillar and voice for change internationally. She campaigned efforts to become the first woman president of the Gambia in 2026. Her Excellency Marie Sock has a tremendous heart for the people of the Gambia and throughout the world. Her support of humanitarian efforts shall continue and is one of the key functions of the ASD, which is the Alliance of Social Democrats. One of her first initiatives was to form Around the World. Ms. Dora Chambers leads this group of world leaders representing the Gambia, the UK, Europe, and America. Mr. Mohammed Rahman Coker serves as the international spokesperson for the ASD. So we're just so thankful to be able to bring to you tonight this interview with Her Excellency Madame Marie Sock and members of the ASD, specifically Dora Chambers, who is her U.S. manager. So welcome, Her Excellency.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Sandy Rogers. I am so honored to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me on today. Really, I am honored.
Well, thank you. It's my honor because I tell you, I've met you recently, although I've been talking to you, listening to you on the phone, but your energy is so magnificent to meet you in person, and everybody feels it. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it is like that. If you want to empower people, you know, you always have to not only empower the people that are asking you to do so, but everyone else around you. And that is what I think our calling is, because at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, what is my purpose? What is my calling? And if you want to stand up as a leader, then that should be one of the main things, which is to connect, empower, and surround yourself with people that can receive that, because in them receiving that, they send that vibe to you, and you know, it helps to make you grow to who you want to become.
Perfect. Perfectly said. And it is about giving that power and purpose to others, and so that it's not you with the big title and the big head. You know, but it's everybody being lifted together. That's what's so beautiful about this message. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so I heard you speak here in Georgia a week or so ago, and you were talking about the power of the woman. That mm-hmm. is so very dear to my heart because mm-hmm. we have been led to believe that we lack mm-hmm. power, that mm-hmm. Everybody else is more powerful than us. And so, mm-hmm. you know, how you stood and how you're educating the all of humanity to the power being is, I really wanted you to talk a little bit more about your stand, your position on women empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Well, Madam Sandy Rogers, as women, I think the generation that we are in or the generation that is coming is losing its grip as far as the female gender is concerned about who we really are. And mm-hmm. we cannot lose that because around the world we hear a lot of things happening to women, to children, girls. You know, of course, we're not forgetting the boys, but mostly women. And it, some countries use religion to do that. Some countries use culture and tribe to do that. But I always want to remind women that we come from warriors. You know, we come from kings. Sometimes in those days, they don't call women queens. They said kings because they were rulers. Mm-hmm. Today, as I speak to you, when I go to the villages, for example, they say Mansa Musu, you know, Mansa Musu, a king woman, you know. They don't say a queen woman, they say king woman, you know. And I want to remind women that that is where they were. Women were leading in wars. Women were leading. They were warriors. Women were leading in a lot of high places, ruling, you know. But now women are losing that grip. I don't know, maybe the male is, you know, dominating or is making us feel that we're not good enough. I don't know what is going on with our society. And all that stems in us not supporting each other, building that strength mm-hmm. together. You see, when we stand together, we are stronger. When we stand together as people, period, we are stronger. So imagine all women standing together and supporting each other. We are going to learn from each other. We're going to, you know, use that vibrations that we get from each other, and it strengthens us as individuals. I take my experience, for example, running as a female presidential candidate, and I find more support from the men than the women. And that realization hit me when I, you know, when I even did a statistics, for example, on social media, I realized I have over 50% men supporting me than women. Women were like 10%. So that was a hard pill to swallow because the reason why I am standing today or to stand for the presidency is basically to give voice to the voiceless. And nine times out of 10, the voiceless are those women that cannot open their mouth, that they are suppressed because of culture or because of tribal affiliation or religion. Those women have so many great opportunities to become whoever they want, but because of culture or tribal sentiments, they are suppressed. And maybe it's because of fear that they cannot stand with me, but the ones that I want to stand with me are not those voiceless, the ones that have a voice or the ones that are in position to be able to stand to amplify that voice are the ones that are not standing with women that are leading.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is not a good sign because we are then weak. I said it yesterday on a meeting. Men do take risks. Few women are ready to take that risk. It is nice to see a woman standing as a head of state or wanting to run as a head of state, but it is also nice to know that you have your woman folk standing with you.
Yes.
Instead of turning and standing with the men. I'm not how do you call it, downing the men or anything. Actually, I am thankful. I am grateful that they stand with me because they look at me as a mother, as their mother. They look at me as their daughter, their sisters. That alone is a blessing. You understand? Mm-hmm. But I would love my sisters to stand with me as warriors together to fight for the women that don't have a voice, for the that are being married off at the age of 12, 13, for the woman, girl, that is being raped and don't have a voice and cannot say it because of society, because of culture. You cannot even say that you were raped or you were hurt because then you hate it. For the girl that is denied education. And that is why we need to stand for that, so that we can be part of the decision making for our lives and our well-being and our wellness if we want our continents or our countries to grow. Without us, there's no humanity.
Yes. That's such a strong message to get out. And I know that's one that I believe in. And for a while, I've talked about the strength of women and mm-hmm. and our power, and that the Creator gave the woman the mm-hmm. awesome responsibility of bringing new life into being. And mm-hmm. so that could not be a place of weakness,
mm-hmm.
you know, to bring new life. We're the only ones that can repopulate this land.
Exactly.
And so that for real is not a place of weakness. So I love your message in mm-hmm. Being able to support that concept
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
a warrior standpoint. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
really strength right there. That's power.
Exactly. Yes. We are warriors. You look at the history, African history, go back into the books, look at the history. Women were standing in war. Women were fighting. Women were in the forefront, not at the back, at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Women are highly honored in all religions, not looked down upon. No, that is a misinterpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Today, a lot of presidents, a lot of heads of state that are men, would not have made it into office if it were not for women.
Exactly.
All around the world, when you look at the votes, when you count the votes, you look at the margin, you see more women go out to vote than men, especially in Africa. More women. That's why they always say when you want to get elected, have the women to back you. The women back the men, but most of the time we get disappointed because they go up there and they forget us, the women. They don't put in laws, rules, and regulations that benefit us. They want to decide how we live. In Africa right now, they want to decide, yes, you have to have FGM, you know, female genital mutilation, as it has to bring back into the law. You're deciding for us because of what? You don't want women to be promiscuous because, oh, it is so-and-so in so-and-so religion. That's not fair. But
no,
we don't have a female representation to stand and say, listen, it should be a matter of choice. The person can have the access to education to be able to stand tomorrow and choose whether they want to do that or not. But you cannot decide for us how our bodies or what we do with our bodies. You cannot decide for us whether we give birth or whether we don't give, because you're not doing what you're supposed to do after we elected you to make sure there's proper medical help for our birthing mothers. But I don't blame those men. I blame the women that stand to put them there, and that is where I'm coming from. Because if we stand together and say enough is enough, we need to be part of that decision-making body because we matter too, because we birth you. We bring you to existence, whether you're male or female, it is us. Then soon respect will be again given back to the woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that position. I you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's so important that, you know, we honor everyone and not shame or downplay the importance of the woman. It's just, it has to be, you know, like someone has got to speak up. And I'm so impressed, like I said, with your stand and your educating the people, and even with or in addition to like the action steps that you're taking to help the women that are new mothers, provide items for them and for the new babies in not only your country but throughout the world, you know, here in the United States and there in Gambia, that your intention is about the person that keeps us going, the the person that populates the land.
Well, the in Africa, for example, in most countries, we have rich African countries, but unfortunately, we don't have proper health care. You know, in a country, health care should be one of the priorities, because especially when it comes to prenatal and, you know, because women in Gambia, for example, you have so many scenarios. Nearly every day, a mother will die or a mother and baby will die because of lack of proper health care. In the village, women are climbing on donkey carts to go and have their babies. You imagine 9 months pregnant, you're sitting on a donkey cart on a red, how do you call it, road, not even with, how do you call it, with tar, and they're going miles and miles just to get to the nearest clinic on a donkey cart to give birth. Some of them give birth on the donkey cart itself. Sometimes the baby dies, the mother dies, the stress, the distress. You understand all of that. And up to how many years, for example, in a place like Gambia, where we are almost 60 years since independence, we still can't get it right when it comes to having proper health care for our mothers and child. And if they keep dying or you get pregnant and you worry about, oh, my God, I hope I'll make it when I give birth, that mental stress alone can kill you or the baby, because you're stressing all thinking, am I going to survive this birth? Giving birth is a blessing. It used to be a blessing, you know, but now it has become a fear. We are yet to realize all that, to say, no, we need to then vote in somebody that can take care of us. But year in, year out, we stand and we vote for people that when they go to office, that is the first thing they neglect. So that, for me, this is one of the reasons we need the voices to stand and we amplify it. I don't need to come to the United States and be looking for baby items. I don't need to come to the United States to look for, how do you call it, female maternal stuff, you know. But because of the way the system is and people are not doing what they're supposed to do, we out help to say, hey, let me help my people. This is how I can help now until, inshallah, if I can make it into office. But meanwhile, I pity women that go to the hospital giving birth. They would even ask you to take your birth, your after birth, in a bucket and take it home. Where are we? It never happened in our days. What kind of respect is that, where you're telling the woman to take her afterbirth home with her to do what? Where is the respect where when you come to the hospital, you have to bring your own wrapper? You have to bring your own sheets. You don't have a pad or pads, nothing. They don't give you anything. You go in there, you give birth. You give birth, or they take too long, or the electricity is cut off because you don't have electricity to give birth. The baby dies inside you. Now they say the mother needs blood. No blood bank, no blood bags. They now announce on the social media, whoever can rush to the hospital and give blood, by the time people respond and arrive, you dead too.
Wow.
Where is the respect for our women?
Yes, ma'am. Indeed.
That is why I'm saying this to all women. It is our responsibility to stand up warriors to gain our respect in the society that we live in.
Yes.
Gaining respect is not about being a businesswoman. I'm a businesswoman. I make millions of dollars. That's not it. You're going to die and leave all that here. You're not taking not one dime with you when you go. Maybe the coffin they're going to make, they're going to use that dime to make that, but that's about it. You're leaving everything on here. So what we need to ask ourselves is, what is our purpose? Because that is what matters. Even when we leave this place, that is what matters.
Yes, ma'am.
We celebrate people like Rosa Parks' ministry the other day. I was impressed because that is what she left behind. No one talked about the money she had. Nobody talked about she was a billionaire or they were millionaires. What they talked about was the good that they did and the lives that they empowered and touched and people they uplifted. Because that is what matters. Humanity is everything. Love is everything.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. I love your message.
Madam Sandy, that is why my stand. It is not easy to stand on those pillars, but it is my stand. I think we need to look back, look at humanity, look at how we love, look at our purpose, what is our purpose, what is our truth.
That's what really impresses me so much about what you're doing, is you're standing on a platform that empowers humanity, that empowers individuals to be able to stand up for themselves, to look at this life that we're living, and like you say, give a new voice or give a voice to woman, to the one that is responsible for bringing new life into being. Because the woman is just as important as the man.
Yes, indeed.
Your message is dynamic.
Indeed. That is why most men stand with me, because they look at me as that mother. They look at me as that wife. They look at me as that sister that could have had the opportunity to be that. And with that, I appreciate that. So if the men can recognize that and stand for that, what are we women waiting for when we are the ones that are suffering the most, that are marginalized the most in any political field? We only use as clappers and drummers and wearing the T-shirts and following the politicians and voting them in. At some point, our level where we're supposed to be will not be there. The men will start losing that respect for us. There's so many abuses. There's so many divorces. There's so many, all of that. Why do you think that is? Because we as women are losing our purpose. Men don't want a useless woman anymore. Men want to wake up next to a warrior. Men, even if you're a housewife in so many countries in Africa, if you're a housewife, be the best housewife. Be the housewife that when that husband comes home, you take off his shoes, you massage his feet, get him his food, do the thing, it's a job. But it is not a job because you're with the person that you love. In the morning when he wears his suit and his tie is crooked, stand in front of him, fix that tie, look him in the eye and say, good luck, husband.
Yes, ma'am.
That man will feel something from his toe to his head all the way to work and back because you are a housewife, but you are adding 50% of his positiveness or his deliverance and success by just doing what you're supposed to do as a housewife. And if you're not a housewife, the same thing applies. You need to have something that triggers him, something that makes him want to 24/7 be with you. When he comes home, when he's off work, he wants to run home to you because you stimulate that mind. You are his booster. Gone are the days when men want you just for beauty.
Yes, yes.
So we need to ask ourselves, what is our worth? Who are we? We need to be that warrior again.
Mm-hmm. Her essence,
who we are.
Just like you're saying, you know, with the woman in the home with the husband, that woman can mm-hmm. also give that same upliftment to all people. You know, to
exactly.
the children. To, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
If you are a lazy mom or you are a lazy woman, after some time, you bore even your kids. You bore your husband. You bore your kids. Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
You bore your kids. But if you're that mother who from time you, because, and that is, you see, and this is what I tell a lot of women. I said, today, we always talk about, well, in the U.S., for example, when you divorce, you go to court, you get half. But then some people think that you don't deserve that half. But if you do what you're supposed to do, the husband himself will give you the half.
Yes, ma'am.
Because he will know that this woman, the way he took care of me and the kids, he's going to continue doing that regardless. And if you do it so well, you really don't need to even ask. It's right there for the table. You really will not probably even get into a divorce situation.
That's true. Yeah.
Things happen and things happen. But I'm just saying. Even your kids will lose that respect because they said, our mom does nothing.
Mm.
But if you're that mom that is so dynamic, even as a housewife, trust me, your children will come and say, Mom, I love you so much. You are everything. Because you are, they emulate, they copy, they look at you, they look up to you. It is not easy today for me to stand as a presidential candidate because all dirt will be dug up about me and it will come out as scandal. But
yes.
This is what I do. Now, thing that I have done, I always think about my children. Because I always say, I don't want to look foolish in the eyes of my children. I want them to always remember who I am and what I stand for. I want them to give me that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get all of that, it has to come from me. I have to respect myself. I have to do the hard thing, which is self-preservation, self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Respecting me, then I can give respect. Loving me first, then love them. And love everybody else around me unconditionally. But it's all from self. It's all from
yes.
that power. You said it in the beginning of your speech. It's not easy, but like I said, we are warriors and we can do anything that we put our mind to.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're learning that, and perhaps a lot of us...
Women back up. Those are the women I want to bring back up.
Yeah. And, you know, your reception here in Atlanta at the church was so overwhelming. I wish everyone that's listening could have seen the welcome that you received at the church. You were just loved and loved. And that's the power and the energy of that warrior woman that you're telling
mm-hmm.
us about. You know, just clapped.
Exactly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and they felt it. And that's
yes.
the, yeah. That is the power that we need to have. Not so much in our words, but that
mm-hmm.
people can feel you. You have both though.
Mm-hmm.
Her Excellency, you have the energy, the vitality, you have
Thank
the you. Words that are picking people up, and that's why we're standing with you.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. I really do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I am here to inspire because I want all of us to feel the same, be the same, you know, walk on that shoe. Yesterday I was in a private event as well, and a lady said, I feel you because I am, it's like you're talking on me or with me or for me.
Mm-hmm.
We have women like that. We have.
Yes.
It's not, we can count them. At the church, well, it was all because of the beautiful welcome. Like I said, when people hear about you and you come in positive, you know, then it radiates. People see that radiant. I didn't have
mm-hmm.
to speak.
It's who you are.
Because it's already in my aura.
Exactly. It's who you are. Power, I was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
You are doing so much, and even without, you know, a list of activities or accomplishments or
mm-hmm.
Things that you've been able to do,
mm-hmm.
people were impressed is not the word,
mm-hmm.
but they were moved by your energy, by your vibration. And
mm-hmm.
so when we can get that to the
mm-hmm.
people, especially the women,
mm-hmm.
the women, we need to stand up and know
mm-hmm.
and believe and accept our power.
Mm-hmm.
That we have the mm-hmm. same capacity to run a country anyone else.
Yeah,
and I believe you can do it, you know, like for real, and turn things around. What are some of the other issues that you have in the Gambia that you're working on?
Well, in the Gambia, I have always been known to give back to the communities, you know, because, like I said, the communities are basically almost neglected. And I have tried my level best to do charities, you know, like put some solar lamps, girls not being able to further their education, create a reading group, you know, like teaching them how to read, you know. And you see they want to, but because of where they live and the culture and the society, they, you know, they are basically suppressed. But I spoke to a young girl, she was 13, she just got married. She said to me that I wanted to be a nurse. And I was just looking at her. I said, well, you can still be a nurse, you know. But, of course, she doesn't have the financial help, nor does she not have the, the ability or to go to school. I also went to villages where, for example, they have a school that can only take two students per household. Now, if you say two students per household, you have a house that has four kids, two boys and two girls. Most of the time, it's the two boys they will send to school and the girls will stay home because at the age of 13, 14, or 12, they can betroth them to somebody. So, you know, you cutting that dream or that future of that girl short by marrying her. Most of the time, they don't even marry them off to a young guy. They marry them off to a guy that is like, have already three wives, she's now the fourth wife, and she goes in and she of the team that goes to the farm to farm for what they can eat. It's a hardship, you know, and until we have a government that can open all these doors when it comes to education everywhere, building bigger schools all over the country and higher education, you know, and giving girls opportunities, skill centers and all of that, training them, we will still be, you know, where we are. You know, equal opportunity for all is how a country should grow. You know, you cannot, in America, for example, all that was fought for, and now people have more or less, boys and girls can go to school up to any level they want. We want that too, because we feel that the woman cannot be married off at the age of 13. That's done. I have a lady that was working for me, and she said she started having children at the age of 10 or 11.
Oh, wow.
So now she's a grandmother of, I don't know, 6, because we were having a conversation. I said, how come your grandmother, you don't look old, but you look old. She said, well, I am 48. I said, you 48 only?
Mm.
She said, yes, I'm far older than you. I said, no, you're not. I said, you're a young woman.
Yeah.
I said, I'm 56. So these are the things, but she already looked tired and old, you know? So, and because of, and she's not educated, but now she's fighting to educate her kids and her grandkids all by herself. The man has died a long time ago and left her with almost, I think, 8 boys and I think 1 girl, you know?
Ooh.
So there's no more future for that woman. Her children, what are the chances? What are the chances of really surviving? You know? So
we
have young boys like that or young girls like that, that because the family is not well off, they now start taking the back way, going into Europe, into the U.S., for better livelihood, you know, better way of living. And
mm-hmm.
they risk their life. So, of course, these are all challenges that I have to find ways to stop that so they can stay in the country and work, because we need that human capital. We need that, you know, the youth to work. Because without them, how are we going to develop our country?
Right.
How are we going to stop this illegal migration? You know? So everything that a government doesn't do has a ripple effect on its citizens. Education is key. Food sustainability is key. Healthcare is key. And these are all challenges. I started putting solar lamps in the villages. When I went one day, I was invited, and I went there, and everything was nice. As soon as you go, they kill a goat for you. Very nice people. I took a shoe. You know, I took a lot of slippers, flip-flops for the whole village, brand new slippers, and they were fighting over it. And I took a shoe for a little boy because he said he's my husband. Little five-year-old, he always says I'm his wife. So I took a beautiful, nice gym shoes for him. And next day I woke up and I saw he's wearing only the one pair. And I'm like, what happened to the other shoe? He said, I gave it to my friend. So both of them were just, they came to me, and both of them dressed up. Everybody was wearing one shoe, you know, and that broke my heart, because here is a five-year-old who decides to share his shoe.
Yes, wow.
Then at night, one of the young girls who is still in school was taking a small, tiny flashlight trying to do her homework. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing my homework. I said, at this time? He said, well, I said, you can't see anything with that light. So I had to use my phone and put the, because on the iPhone you have more light, to help her. And then I said, no, this is, so I decided from there on to put solar lamps all around the country. And I did. It has not been easy, because one solar lamp with a pole cost almost $150. So these are the challenges, and I'm not even a president. I'm just a regular person.
The heart of caring, and that's what allows you to be able to do these things even before, because it sounds as if that you're not motivated by winning the presidency, but actually providing for individuals. And I think that caring, it also gets back to that mother instinct, to that caring nature of the female.
Exactly.
That it's so important. And hopefully people are listening with a true, true, unbiased way of
mm-hmm.
looking at this, and will
mm-hmm.
accept, you know, that a
mm-hmm.
woman can run a country
mm-hmm.
efficiently. Yeah.
Of course.
Go.
Listen, in Germany, we had a woman running the country. During COVID, she was one of the best. I think in Greenland, Iceland, there was a woman as well. They did much better than the men as far as controlling COVID. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
in the United States, I'm hoping and praying that one day they will have a woman. Because what is happening in Africa, in a way, is happening here. We have a lot of homeless people. We have a lot of children being, how do you call it, trafficked, you know.
Oh, sex abuse,
trafficked.
Sex trafficked. Yes,
all of that. And sometimes women come with a whole different perspective because we are mothers first. That instinct kicks in. You know, we don't care about wars. You know, we don't care about wars. We don't care about making money with our machines and all that. What we care about is humanity, because we look at everybody now as our children. We nurture. So
yeah.
I think at some point, even the United States needs that.
Indeed.
We need nurturing. We need somebody to now really take care of the people. The people have to be taken care of. Not creating wars outside that has absolutely no relevance to the country. The war that you have in your country is enough.
Sex
trafficking is a war. Drug abuse is a war. Homelessness is a war. All these are wars in your backyard. You need to fix that first before you start going out. In the Gambia, before going out, you fix what, you know, the people first. Let them be happy. Let them have food. You cannot help everybody. But when you have the majority, you can then decide to play games and say you're creating wars. Nobody will care then, because guess what? Everybody's okay.
Yes. I love your viewpoint. You make sense with your target areas, you know, education, food, sustainability, and health care. Those are the three central aspects, right, of life for all of us, for each of us. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you're hungry, you can't work. If you're sick, you can't work. Nobody wants to run a hungry nation. Nobody wants to rule a sick nation. Because in order for you to develop strong bodies, strong minds, if you're hungry, you can't go to school and capture what the teacher is telling you. Education, you cannot be part of this world where everything now is turning into digital. You will not be part of that. And then they say, oh, the underdeveloped countries. So these are very important. Food sustainability, health care, strong enough to be able to do that.
Right. Vital, absolutely necessary and important. So in your approach to providing these necessities for the citizens there in the Gambia, how do you manage to finance what you have going? Like the solar
lamp.
Well,
I used to do all that by myself, but now since I'm into the politics and people know me for giving back, I can't stop. And I've created Alliance of Social Democrats. And even though it's a charity organization, person heading it is me, which is a politician, but I have the charity arm where now I can still help people. And that's one of the reasons we have one here, and it's managed wholly and solely by Dora Chambers, and basically supporting, and it's not only for Africa, it's also for everywhere. I tell Dora, you know, it's not only Africa that is in need. Even here in the United States, we have a lot of people that are in need. We have a lot of people that are homeless, that are suffering. So when we get anything, support, let us at least leave 15% of that support here too, so that at least we show that we care and this is much that we can do. So now with Alliance of Social Democrats, we hope that people will join us. We want to be able to have all sectors all over the country and the other countries around the world. We strive to do the same, replicate whatever in all these other countries, you know, because at the end of the day, humanity is first. Love is first. Humanity is all, you know, part of being human. And we cannot neglect that. As much as I want to be the president of the Gambia, I also have to care for the people. And hopefully through my caring, they can see that. So let's say, for example, today 2026 comes and I don't win. Our charity still goes on. Even the person that wins will realize, people will begin to realize, if we would have known from the last election, they're already regretting. So hopefully from the next election, they'll be smart enough. But we want people to know that it is not about just having the seat. Most politicians today will sit with you, promise you everything. They go in there, they forgot even the last promise they made. I don't make promises. What I do, I start the work now. We have been doing the work. We are doing the work. Dora Chambers is one of the key witnesses to that. You saw that as well. We've done our baby drive. We are doing other drives. We just got a lot of books, you know, for Gambian kids, you know, that are going to law school and other fields to have something that can help them read and research. So we are not saying no to anything. Whatever you bring, we appreciate it, and it will benefit somebody.
Well, that's a beautiful legacy to have and to be working toward leaving, and especially you're not tying it directly into your campaign. You've been doing this work long before, and so that's the beauty, right? That's the beauty. And perhaps Her Excellency, perhaps that's the energy people are feeling.
Because and they so see that this woman is not just about the presidency, because most times when you sit with politicians, all they care about is them sitting in the seat. They have nothing to offer now. I have a rice project, and I'm seeking funding all over the world to realize that, where I can sell, can be afforded in every household. And, of course, there's a fight with it. Oh, she's going to be the most powerful politician if we help her. I had to end up taking the documents and sending outside of the country to see if I can get funding, you know, and then even if it's funding where I have to pay back with interest, I'm doing it, because I feel that the rice right now is about $40, $30, $40 a bag. You cannot sell rice at $30, $40 a bag when the average policeman is earning about $40 a month.
Mm.
He has a household of 10 people. We consume 117 kilos of rice a year. The average global is 57. So how is that man going to survive with 10 people in his house? He needs 2, 3, 4 bags of rice, because that's what they eat all day, every day, of course, with the sauce and the condiments and the vegetables. $40, $30, $40. So if I can have rice, a rice factory where now I can sell rice at $13, that's a big change. That's a big change. That's a win-win for everybody. They're gonna buy 10. I have people already telling me, I want to buy, make sure I get 10 bags a month. If you're adding $40 and buy a bag of rice at 13, you still have a lot of change.
Yes, yes.
But how can you have $40 and buy a bag at $30 or $40? What else are you going to pay your rent? What about the stuff that is going to go on the rice? Because you can't eat rice by itself. So these are the things as a politician that I'm working on night and day. Something on the table. And it, for instance, it's a module. I created a module. And not only that, doing the rice, the town where I'm doing the rice, I'm giving them 10% of the gross profit every quarter. And that's a lot of money, because with that money, they can develop their towns. So every quarter, they get 10%.
That's very generous of you as well. Very generous business move.
Well, it's a community development scheme, which I came up with. Like I said, it's a module.
Yes.
So
yes,
let's
ma'am.
Say, for example,
yes.
I make $5 million every 3 months. I'm giving them 10%. That's $500,000. Imagine
mm-hmm.
what they can do. And I have a 15-year contract. They own the land. I have a 15-year contract with them. So they have never seen money like that. So in that 15-year course, that town, that area, that zone can now build their own schools, their own proper hospitals, because we're going to make a beautiful, plan for them, you know, a blueprint of how their town can
yes.
look like between now to 10 to 15 years. And now we now help them with kind of money, because it's a sort of money, how they can use it to develop that area. Imagine I have that kind of farm in 5 different zones in the Gambia. That means all these zones can now develop themselves through that money they're getting from that farm. Now, when I make it into office as a president, I don't have to worry about them anymore. Now I can build proper infrastructure, access to transportation, train stations, you know, a train, cargo train or whatever, you know, create Gambia as a logistical hub for import-export. Can do those big projects. But how can you make those big projects when your people don't even have access to even a regular road?
Mm-hmm.
Much to say other
mm-hmm.
other stuff.
And you were explaining to us in the beginning of the interview about the hazards and the dangers to the health of the pregnant women and their babies by not having suitable roads.
No healthcare facilities. They have nurses coming once every 2 weeks, and all of them will know that this day we're all going to nurse. When I arrive sometimes in some of the villages, say, Auntie Marie, you're here with your truck. Good. So now, tomorrow we are going to nurse. Can we use your truck? They all jump into my truck, and I drive them to the clinic, you know, because
wow.
now they have the opportunity of sitting in a nice car to go to the clinic until I go back home. So whenever I come, they're just happy to jump in my truck to go into, you know, to go to the clinic. And I would do
sometimes
2 or 3 trips, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
Those are the realities.
Wow. You know, it's important for us to understand because
mm-hmm.
Sometimes the reality of life can get cloudy or it
mm-hmm.
cannot be reported properly. So I'm
mm-hmm.
so thankful to be learning from you and for you to be
mm-hmm.
able to share the reality of what the Gambian people are living with and
mm-hmm.
The opportunity for it to be changed. And you have a
mm-hmm.
vision. You've been doing
mm-hmm.
the work. Yeah, that's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Gambia is only 2 million inhabitants. We're not many. So how difficult is that to develop? How
mm-hmm.
difficult is that? You don't need a rocket science to even do that. You don't need rocket scientists to do that. It's the same
yes,
flora
ma'am.
And fauna of Florida.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you have the right vision. You've got the right team. So, Dora, we have you on. Is there anything you would like to add to the conversation?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Mother Sandy Rogers, for having us on. And I've just been just soaking it all in, the conversation with you and Her Excellency. And, you know, my calling is just a call to action, yes. We know the need is great, and we know in any situation the key to solution is find the need and fill it. So that is my role, standing side by side with my dear beloved sister, Her Excellency, Madam Eddie Sock, to stand by her side and fulfill the need for the people of the Gambia as well as the people in the diaspora here in the U.S. So we're just calling out to each and every single one that is listening this evening to join us, to lock arms with us, to roll up our sleeves, to go to work in any role, in any capacity that you can offer and bring to the Alliance of Social Democrats. We have a U.S. chapter here. We've had an amazing week, as you know, Mother Sandy. We've had an amazing week with Her Excellency here. It is definitely apparent that the work has begun. It's been a great joy. It's been a great honor to see, like you said, how people are receiving her, because I remember meeting Her Excellency September 2021, and that's exactly how I felt. That's why it was no hesitation when invited to be a part of the movement that I said yes, because I remember the passion, the heart, the conviction, and the courage to stand on the front line, to take on this journey, to take on this calling, to be the next president of the Gambia in 2026, which we know is no small task. So to be able to lock arms with Her Excellency and you, Mother Sandy, and the other individuals here that so far have been a part and have joined us here in the U.S., but we are calling for everyone that can understand, see the vision, see the purpose, see the cause and the need, and if it's tugging at your heart and in your spirit to be a part of the solution with us as ASC USA chapter, we encourage you to do so. You can become a member. We're very active here in the U.S., and we're only going to continue to do more and more work as we get closer to 2026 as well. But it's the humanitarian platform. It's the humanitarian work to and through and beyond the election. ASD will be here, but also ASD is standing by Her Excellency. So we would like for you to join the movement with us.
And how would someone do that?
They can reach us at 678-643-5952. Again, that's 678-643-5952. Or they can email us at ASDUSA26, ASDUSA26@gmail.com. So you can reach out to us, let us know that you're interested. We'll contact you directly and let you know how to become an ambassador. We're all considered ambassadors in the ASD, ambassador for the movement of change, and we'll let you know how you can be a part. If you just want to donate and give, you can make a donation via Cash App at ASDUSA26. That's $ASDUSA26. $1, $5, $10, $20, $100, it all adds up, and it could all help us make a difference. And that's what it's all about. So join us. Our Facebook page is USA, the Alliance of Social Democrats on Facebook. That's USA, the Alliance of Social Democrats on Facebook. And you can inbox me directly on Facebook as well. So that's how you can be a part. Like, we're taking donations. We just had a beloved sister that just joined our chapter, Miss Elisa Boyd. And I think you got a chance to meet her at the tea talk, Mother Sandy. And the other night at the meet and greet, she brought loads of books. I didn't even have any idea how many books there were, because I had a brother go out and help her move the books from her car to my car. Over 7 boxes full of books.
Oh,
so this
wow,
is how it starts.
Awesome.
It was amazing. Yeah, so this is what it looks like. This is what the village work looks like. This is what the community gathers together. This is what it looks like. And it's such an honor to be a part of, and I'm grateful.
And, you know, the drive that we had here for the baby items and the sanitary products for the new mothers, you know, those can be hosted in whatever area you live in, and contact Dora, we can that can be arranged for it to be taken, delivered to the Gambia. Then also, you know, some of that is also staying in the United States. So it's not like everything is going over, because we do understand there's a need here in the United States as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So everything we do here, collect, whether it's items or whether it's financial, a percentage of it will stay here to meet the need of the people here in the diaspora as well in the U.S.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
and
thank
we
you
thank
so
everyone
much.
Everyone that came out to the baby drive for the Africa Diaspora Day in the park and brought baby items, bought mommy maternity items. We had a great time, played games, laughed and talked. It was beautiful. It was amazing. And then we were able to continue and have a drop-off spot at Beauty Exposed Salon. We want to thank our treasurer, Sister Cherie Carter, for, you know, hosting our drop-off and hosting our beauty shop tea talk with Madame Betty Stock, her first event when she arrived in the U.S. It was beautiful.
Yes.
And we were all crowned by Her Excellency in our beautiful head wraps. That's the moment to remember.
The drive for the items, you know, the baby items and for the women was such a beautiful family gathering, and so that everyone felt a part of that. And for a lot of places across the United States, you know, that are not heavily impacted by low temperatures for the winter, consider doing something like that. You know, it'll make you feel better to be able to help those less fortunate. Does it cost you a lot of money to go and, you know, buy a couple of diapers or, you know, whatever those items would be? And just consider, please, I'm asking you, along with Dora and Her Excellency, please consider being a part, making a donation as much and as frequently as you can to help the cause.
Saying that we say you gather a whole lot of people to do just a little bit and a whole lot gets done. So we all come together and just do a little bit. We can touch so many lives. So many lives.
Yeah.
I spoke to here today.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that the baby drive, people in the U.S., sometimes our kids grow too fast, baby rockers, baby, you know, the seats, the little seat carrier, anything people have. Sometimes we have them even sitting in our garage and it's almost new. You know, all these things can help somebody, you know, and, you know, let's not look at it like, oh, you know, this is used. Sometimes it's used, but it's good. So we're looking at that as well, you know, and just people to help out because, like I said, in Africa or in Gambia, some women have babies. They even have anything to wrap the baby in, you know.
Right.
They'll just wrap them in their wrappers and take the baby home, and then family would kind of help a little bit here and there. But the baby grows too. They don't have anything much to wear. I have about six, named six as I'm talking to you. I'm named after six babies all over the country, you know. So even on this trip, I'm running around buying hair clips and all these little cute things for them because they're all girls. And they have my full name too, Marie Sock. They're all Marie Sock babies. You know, when they name you
that's
in Africa, they give you your first name and your last name. So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And you can only get that through the work that you're doing, that people honor you by naming their babies, you know, giving your name to their babies. It's a big honor in Africa.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, great honor.
And work goes on. And the work goes on.
Yeah.
It's so important what you're doing. And, you know, when you're talking about that the young girls, 10, 11, 12, and 13, being married off and becoming pregnant, you would understand why their mind would not be on knowing the importance of having some of these health products, right? So, you know, somebody may be out there not understanding, well, how can that be? Well, she gave us, Her Excellency told us, these are young girls. These are not women. They are young girls that are being married off. So when you take that into consideration, it makes more sense.
They don't know. There's no, you know, and unfortunately, we don't have, like, a young woman these past years that are losing their babies and losing some of them dying or losing babies. They don't even, we don't have counselors. You know, we don't have counsel sessions for them. We don't have prenatal, antenatal, you know, where we can, you know, they just, you just move on and they will tell you something like, oh, you know, but your womb is still good. You can still try again. You know, so sometimes there's a lot of things that they're so heartbreaking and you don't want to talk about it because it's just heartbreaking. And you feel for this girl. How is it easy just to say, oh, you'll have another baby? Then the other baby comes, you go to the hospital, the same thing happens. So are you supposed to still go on and still try to have another baby? And at some point, you begin to ask, what is the value of the woman? Are we just there to just give birth? Are we just there to be in the house and cook and, you know? And this is my calling. This is why I said we need to stand up. We need to, you know, for that voiceless, for that woman that don't have a voice to say no.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... So you keep adding to it, Her Excellency, the understanding just how important our action is in helping this situation. That is just something that seems like really out of reality for young girls. 10 to 13 years old, giving birth to babies, and they're still babies.
Thank you. Thank you. That is why the generation is young. The population is very young right now. We have lots of young people because it's young people giving birth to young people. They cannot even raise them right because they don't know. And then these young people grow up and they're depressed and they want to leave the country. Because they feel there's not much opportunities because you already come from a deprived family background anyway. You know, your parents cannot pay your school fees because your father has four wives. Each wife has 3-4 kids. You know, the women have to go to the farm before you all eat. You know, so you grow up trying to be better, trying to do best for you and, you know, and your mom, 9 times out of 10, you steal, you become a thief, or you become, you know, or you want to go through the back way. The women get married early. Some of them run away. They go to the Kombo area, the city area, and go into prostitution. So there's all these challenges going on. And I have a platform that I'm creating right now for girls where it's like a pageantry, but a reality show pageantry where they will compete with another country, Senegal. And when they win, we can give them scholarships. To go to get for the education and stuff like that. Our criteria, of course, is going to be different from the criteria in the U.S. because they need help. But we're doing it into a reality show where we see how powerful they are or how strong-willed they are and, you know, make a go-getters out of them, people who want to, you want to win something, you want to get it, the race for that crown, you know, but you need to fight for it because 9 times out of 10, things are given so easily and so freely, people don't appreciate, you know, what it takes or what it took for somebody like me to pay my ticket and then have to go and take all this stuff or we have to pay shipping. They don't understand that. So sometimes you have to create a situation where they fight for it, where they, you know, then it's deserving.
Yes, it makes sense. And, you know, one of the, you had said it earlier, and I'm glad you mentioned it again just now, is that you were talking about the young folk risking and taking a risk to lead for a better life. That shows so much drive and ambition of those young folks there in your country. You know, like, they're not just rolling over, so to speak, you know, like just giving in. They want better for themselves, and that is a beautiful thing.
So they leave. And the way they leave, there's so many different stories. Some will steal from their parents. Some are working for their parents in their little shop. They will steal the sale of the day or the sale of 2 days and pay their way to go. And then they will go all the way to Mali. The parents are looking for them. And when parents look 2, 1, 2, 3 days, we already know that that person, the young guy or young woman, now even girls are joining this group. Before it was just boys. Now even girls are joining that treacherous journey. Sometimes they arrive in some countries, they're raped. You know, they're abused. Sometimes the boat, you hear the ship or the boat capsized and they're all dead. But that is not stopping them from taking that risk. They're still taking that risk because they know if they stay, there's not much opportunities or platforms for them. Now, some of them go, they don't make it, or maybe they went through and they were, you know, so maltreated, and they were not used to that custom, like rape and all that. Then they turn around and they lose their senses. You know, they become mad, mental. Or they go and they realize that it's not what they thought. It mentally affects them. But then now there's another caveat to that. The caveat is they can never come back. I have people in Libya. I was called and I said, okay, do they want to volunteer to come home? Some said yes, they want to volunteer to come home, but most of them didn't want to come home. When I asked why don't they want to volunteer to come home, because the shame, some of them, their parents will say, since I gather all my money to make you to travel, and some of your friends made it to Italy, or some of your friends made it to America, or some of your friends made it, you need to try and make it. Don't come here until you make it. So how are they going to come home?
Oh, wow.
That is one of the root causes why they can't come home. They rather stay there and be on the streets or whatever, and then you worry, you go to places like Italy, you go, you sit all sleeping at night on the streets, you know, basically not doing much because life is different, but they can't come home because of the disgrace and the shame.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
But it's a problem
yes,
by our leaders that are not doing what they're supposed to do to create platforms, skill centers, jobs, and all that for these young people to stay in the country.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it certainly seems like you have built that into your campaign. You built it actually even before your campaign so that you're addressing those human needs.
Mm-hmm.
For people to be able to live and survive. Like I said, I am so thankful to have been introduced to you, to feel your energy, and to know of the work that you're doing. And trust and believe we are all behind you. We're rooting for you. We're working
for you. Thank you very much.
We're getting your name out so that,
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much.
Well,
thank you.
Sure. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left. And with that time, if there's anything specific that you would like to address, I want to open the floor up to you and make sure that we give the information one more time about how to join and how to make donations to your campaign, to the country, please do that. And I'm so thankful.
Yes, I would allow Miss Dora Chambers, to elaborate on that because she does take care of those, details and stuff here.
Okay, great, wonderful. Thank you so much. Once again, to find out more information, how you can join us and be a part of the Movement for Change with Alliance of Social Democrats here in the U.S. chapter and beyond, because as the international liaison for ASD, I do work with all the chapters around the globe. So you can contact me directly at 678-643-5952. That's Dora Chambers, 678-43-5952, or email asdusa26@gmail.com. That's asdusa26@gmail.com. And to make a donation to support our cause, you can make a donation currently via Cash App, $ASDUSA26. That's $ASDUSA26. And again, any amount would definitely assist us with our cause and with our helping our brothers and sisters in the Gambia and here in the U.S., in the diaspora here in the U.S. So anything you give is greatly, greatly appreciated. And if you want to find out how to begin to collect items, gift items, baby items, mommy maternity items, books, backpacks, please contact me and I can help you coordinate. The vision and the goal is to begin filling up barrels, and then we'll be shipping them over to the Gambia, but also doing disbursements of items and gift items here in the U.S. to homeless shelters and grassroots organizations as well. So we thank you. We so thank you in advance. And we look forward to working with all of you. We're creating a community here with ASC, and we're excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Not for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it is so exciting to know mm-hmm. that you're a part of a movement that is helping yes. people around the world, around the globe,
yeah.
those that are put here that could use our help. We're in a position to be able to do that through ASD, which is an arm of Her Excellency Madame Marie Sock and her political stance. But it's mm-hmm. not just politics. It's about the human rights of people, education, food
yes.
sustainability, and mm-hmm. health care. And when mm-hmm. we can provide those necessities to humans everywhere, then we're improving, we're increasing, and we're ensuring a better world, future generations. So, Marie Sock, with all the love I have, I so appreciate
mm-hmm.
you. And
thank
I
you.
Will do all that I can to support you, to get your name out,
thank
to
you so much.
Be able to share this information with as many people as possible.
Thank you so much, Madam Sandy Rogers. Thank you for having me on your platform. I am really honored and really appreciative of everything that you are all doing here for ASD USA and for the people of the Gambia. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. We love you. We are. And
thank you.
As we head toward the end of tonight and the show, I just want to give a round of appreciation to Her Excellency, Madame Marie Sock, and to the illustrious Dora Chambers for the work that they're doing for individuals,
mm-hmm.
not Gambia, but also
mm-hmm.
here in the United States. We love you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you once again. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Good night.